It was about 15 weeks ago, I suppose, that I was planning this series. And right now in my life is an extremely busy time. And I was asking the Lord, God, what do you want to speak to your people? And that's always so heavy on my heart. And he made it so clear that we need to be talking about the work of the Spirit in our lives. Who's so thankful for that? I am so thankful for that. And so we're in the middle of this long 13 weeks, and it's two different series. We're talking about how the Spirit works in our lives. And the Lord was bringing to mind people that could speak to this and be able to speak about what not only God has done through them, but what God can do through us. And so over the course of this series, we scheduled several people to speak, and this week it was strongly on my heart to ask my mentor and the one that I first served under to speak on the Holy Spirit empowering us. And he looked at me and he said, I'm ready. And so we're going to welcome up Pastor Gerald Morris to deliver God's word today.
Thank you. Gee whiz, where's the popcorn and the candy?
Roll out the carpet.
Wow. Well, no wonder it takes two guys to move this. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. He's my Redeemer. He's my Rescuer. He's my King. He's my all. Amen. He has kept me from destroying myself. He has been with me almost all my life, but especially when I was a teenager. I began to realize there's something needful in my life. And when I was between my junior and senior year, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I've never regretted it at all. Okay? And not long after that, I met my beautiful wife. And he just kept getting gooder and gooder all the time. Hallelujah. I want to do something here before I begin. I want to, first of all, church, I want to commend you. I want to honor you and thank you as I stood back and watched you work and watched you do a work for Elijah and Emma, and I watched how different ones just kept, you know, one would do this, one would do that, one would do this, and I watched all that, and I went, oh, man, that is the way it's supposed to be done. Church, you made me proud. And I was proud to be your friend and family member, spiritual family member, and I was never so proud of a church as I have been this week. Thank you. And I know Elijah and Emma, thank you. And there you are right there. Okay. And praise God. And so I also want to honor someone I asked him if he wanted to come forward. He goes, nah, I don't think so. Amen. You coming up here, buddy? I want you to look at one of the best cleaners and maintenance. And we clean the church, don't we, bud? Yeah, and you do a good job. And I want to just show you that a lot of things, the papers and things and unfortunately the bathrooms and whatever, we get in there and clean it, don't we? And you do a good job. And I just wanted to honor this young man today. This is Isaac. Way to go, Isaac. Thank you for coming. You have to excuse me. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Isaac and I have grown a little closer. I want to do something else here today. I want to... When I was in Bible college and I worked at bus route, I was going from door to door over in the 4 Mile Creek area. And I knocked on this door, and a young lady came and answered the door, and I told her what I was here about, what I wanted to do, and see if there's any kids who wanted to ride the bus. And she turned and she said, honey, calling to her husband, there's a man here at the door who needs to talk to you. When she said that, I said, you know what? I never really thought about that, but I am a man. Because all that time I thought, well, I'm just a boy. But that little gal will never realize what all she did for me that day. Because I walked away from there thinking, I am a man. Today I want to do something with my grandson, who just turned 13. In the Jewish tradition, when a young man becomes 13, he gets into and has a bar mitzvah. And we're not going to do the bar mitzvah today, but something similar. I have asked him in preparation of this to put to memory Psalm 34, the entire chapter, because that chapter has anything and everything that you'll need for life's situations. There's a scripture in there that'll fit for you for in any situation, Psalm 34. I've put it to memory. My wife's put it to memory. Times when I pray, I quote the entire chapter. And it's a very powerful chapter. And so I've asked, Noah, would you come? And Josh, you come. In a moment, I'm going to have face me. I remember when I used to carry this kid in one arm. Mama, in fact, both these kids. Yeah. I knew there'd be some rough spots. Noah, we have worked together. We have learned a lot of things together. And you have grown in the Lord. I, as your grandfather, am so proud of you. You've done well. You've done well. And so today I want to reaffirm your manhood. This man here, who has done more than I, we wanted to bring you into manhood. Say this with me. Today I am a man. I'm a man after God.
I'm a man after God.
I pledge to serve my God.
I pledge to serve my God.
With all of my being.
With all my being.
I will walk.
I will walk.
In the ways of my father.
In the ways of my father.
And my grandfather.
And my grandfather.
I will serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
Serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Aaron, Jim, would you come? I've asked that these men who are spiritual leaders, who are and have and will affect this young man, to come and just to lay hands upon him as we pray for him. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, O God, that this anointing, that from this day forward, this young man will be just that, a young man, no more to be a boy, but to be a man of God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, O Lord. We present him to you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, what are you?
A man.
A man. You'll pursue men things. You're not no woman. You know. Some days you got to make that clear. But you're a man, and you'll do man things, and you'll learn as you grow to be a man. All right? God bless you. Thank you. I will not have scriptures on the marquee here. Because I'm not going to take it easy on you today. You have a Bible there underneath the seat before you, or you have your Bible with you. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1. And I know some of you got to look at the front of the Bible to find out where in the world is Acts at all. And that's okay. Go right ahead and do that. I'll give you time to do that. Amen. Acts, chapter 1. The Pastor Aaron has asked me to minister upon the preparation for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I believe that there needs to be a preparation. I believe that many Pentecostals and such have made the mistake of trying to hurry into this. And they have bypassed the preparation, now get this word, the preparation and or the price to be paid. You have to pay a price. When I came to Christ, I had to pay a price. I could not do what I wanted to or what I thought I wanted to before because I began to change. I began to be transformed. And God led me to begin to do other things instead of the things I did before. There's a price you had to pay. In my senior year in high school, I carried a Bible in my pocket, in my vest pocket. And a lot of them thought it was a pack of cigarettes. And I got accused of that a couple of times until I pulled it out. And then to watch the look on their faces was really amazing. But you have to pay a price in seeking. That's very important. Would you put that up, please? That my first point. I'm going to put my points up, but at the scriptures, you need to look up. Because I think and I know that we need to make time and have the time of where we are looking into the scriptures and getting to know the scriptures. Because as Peter said, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Paul said something similar there in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. You may want to jot that one down. Those are my two favorite scriptures in the entire Bible. Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and the law of death. Amen. Ethan, did you hear in verse 2? For the law of the Spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin. You'll excuse me, we're just talking here. Hallelujah. So you see here in Acts chapter 1, the preparation was getting started as Luke began to talk about the historical fact to a man by the name of Theophilus, and he began to tell him what was taking place, what Jesus did. I'm going to want you to really concentrate on verses 4 and 8, all right? Because here in verse 4, you'll see, and as you see my point, pursuing the promise. Pursuing the promise. We have to have that word of God, that promise, where we begin to know what God wants us to do, what God has paid for, what God is wanting to give us, and what God is wanting us to have, and we need to understand those promises, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is one of them. Now, the promise is, as the scripture says, they said to the Jews, to you and to those who are afar off. Well, that includes us. If you're taking notes, jot down John 14, verse 17. And I urge you to take notes, please. John 14, 17. This verse of scripture, Jesus was talking, ministering to the disciples, and he was speaking to them ahead, just days, a day even, ahead of the crucifixion. And he, in verse 17, I'm waiting for you to get there, because I'm one, I don't give you a verse and then head on into it, and then by the time you get there, I'm off on another verse. I want you to grab a hold of this. Okay? John 14, verse 17. Amen. I want you to look at this verse. Very powerful. Very powerful. It says, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive. First point in this verse. The world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. You know him. Amen. For he dwells with you and will be in you. Up until this time, the Holy Spirit had been with the disciples. They had healed the sick. They had cast out devils. They had just miracles and such as this. But the Holy Spirit had not been in them. Now follow me. This is very, very vital what Christ has done for each and every one of us, because it is my thought and my understanding and my knowledge is that we don't realize what all we have in God. We don't even understand what all God has done for us and what all God has given us. We're too busy making money and making sure we survive and so on, I guess. And that's fine. I understand. But there is so much more to life than a paycheck.
Amen.
Amen. There is so much more. That's why God sent Jesus Christ to pay the price, because the Holy Spirit, he comes in and dwells the believer only after the believer becomes a believer. Only after the blood has washed away his sins and cleansed him, and only then can the Holy Spirit come inside. Up in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit only came inside of prophets. You'll see that in 1 Peter chapter 1. Chapter 1. But now, listen to this. Listen to this. Today, right now, the Holy Spirit can come into you because of Jesus Christ. It's that same Spirit that raised him from the dead. It's that same Spirit that moved upon this world and created. That same Spirit you and I get to house and have within us.
Amen.
Why? Because we need the Holy Spirit. Because if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we'll kill ourselves. We'll destroy ourselves. Yeah. Much like what the United States is doing right now. But, hallelujah, what's happening right now is there's revival taking place in the United States. I was watching a program the other day, or watching a football game. I like football. I like football. Yesterday in the reception, I was watching a game with Diana. We was watching Iowa State. Did the number. And I was watching along on her phone till she took it away.
She got your dessert, though.
Boy, oh boy. That's like mingling a little carrot to a rabbit. Ah, you can't have it. I thought I was going to have some fun with her today. You see, God's plan was for you to have the Holy Spirit. And that's why He promised, you shall receive the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Amen. He will be in you. Let's go back to Acts 1. Hallelujah. The promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from here. Now, let me point back. I make it very important. At the time of salvation, The Holy Spirit comes in as a transforming power. Romans 8:15. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit our Father, and whereby we cry, our Father. The spirit of adoption is what I'm trying to say. Yes. Romans 8:15. We are adopted in the family of God, and the Spirit comes in, and we need that Spirit to guide us in truths, to comfort us, to minister to us, to help us. We need Him for just everything. Amen. We need Him for the power to live. I don't know about you, but if I had half a chance, I'd end up destroying myself. Amen. Now, so the Lord made it possible for the Holy Spirit to come inside. That is such an honor. That is such a beauty. Look at me, please. The third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, comes and dwells within you. Let's not treat Him like an unwanted stepchild. Let's give Him honor. Hallelujah. Because if it wasn't for Him, glory to God. All right? Pursue the promise. Let's go to number two. Okay? Pursuing the person of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Spirit of Christ. Amen. Lord, I want more of You. Amen. Now, this is where the work begins. The work begins here. And it's challenging, and it's not everybody can do it. But those who are hungry out after God, those who want more of God, you will be ready to do it, to work at preparation so that the Spirit can not only come in, but He will do the third point, which we won't get to yet. God is asking you to pay a price of seeking. It's going to take work. Going to take prayer and fasting. That's why He said, go wait for the promise. And that word waiting is seeking, hungering, thirsting out after God. And Jesus said, those who thirst shall be filled. You have been raised up for such a time as this, and God wants to empower you with His Spirit so that others may come and know Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen. In a little town in North Carolina back in the 1800s when Doyle Cooker was a kid. He's not here, but he's watching. And he can't reply at all. And I haven't got my phone, so it won't ring. Amen. Back in the late 1800s, there in North Carolina, there was a town called Swan Quarter. Swan Quarter was just a little town. In that town, it was a lower part of the state. In elevation, and they wanted to buy a piece of property. It was a Methodist church, Methodist people. They wanted to buy a piece of property for their church to build a church. Beautiful piece of property, and the guy that owned the property, he was being an old jerk. Wouldn't sell the property. True story. You can go on YouTube and see this. True story. So they naturally couldn't get that guy to sell, and so they went and built a church out a couple of miles outside of town, and again, still in the low-lying area. Well, not long after they got the church built, some torrential rains hit. It flooded, and it raised the church up from its foundation and carried the church out to the road and began to move the church down the road towards town. No lie. The people threw ropes around there, trying to hold back that church. And the ropes would just bust. Or just they just couldn't do it. It kept floating down towards town. It got into town and came to the road that went to the lot, and it turned. An entire church building turned and went down the road and went two blocks to the lot, turned again, went up on the lot, and stopped right there. I thought I could move houses, but oh. That's what my first job was, moving out. The owner, who was with trembling hand, by the way, the owner came over to the pastor and said, "Here's the deed, and it's for free." I love that. Amen. I love that. Who am I dealing with? Yeah, all right. Amen. True story. Seek the person of the Holy Spirit. Allow him, now listen to me, allow him to get inside. Allow him to get inside and begin to weed out and to separate and to clean you out in preparation for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Too many times we rush this process. There's even a procedure and a process for when you get saved. How many? The Holy Spirit had been working on you for a while, and pretty soon, that one day, you went forward and accepted Christ. Or you did it right there in your house or on your car or wherever, because the process had come to a finish. Some of you, the Holy Spirit is working on right now. He's ministering to you right now. He's been talking to you. He's been trying to get your attention. Can I give you a little clue? Don't force him to really get your attention. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. Like a two before across the head. Listen to him. Anyway, there's a procedure in the baptism because what happens at that infilling? There is an empowering. Okay? Now go to the third point, please. Pursuing the power. Hallelujah. Down through history, there have been men and women who have paid the price. Hallelujah. Who have sought God. Who hungered out after God. One of my favorites is Evan Roberts there in the country of Wales. He just began to gather for prayer. He'd pray himself. And then he began to gather other people for prayer. Pretty soon, the group got even bigger, filled the entire church. And what happened was they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what the evidence was? There was a fire in them that they could not stop. It set them ablaze to where they had to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. They had to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord because of the compulsion that was inside of them through the fire of the Holy Spirit. And people like Smith Wigglesworth and others benefited over and of that little prayer group. But then it came over to America. And a guy by the name of Charles Parnham in Topeka, Kansas. They were doing the same thing, seeking God. Hallelujah. In a little old house down in Topeka, Kansas. That's still there, by the way. They hungered out after God. And God was weeding out all the junk and garbage and sin that was in their lives. And he was weeding on, preparing that cup to be filled with that precious Holy Spirit. And then, after that, there was a man by the name of William Seymour. Now, I have to say this because of William Seymour was black. And a lot of times, that was back in days of some stronger persecution. And they would, sometimes people would do a number on William Seymour. And he went to Parnham and talked to him, and Parnham said, "Keep going, brother." And Parnham treated him good. But Seymour said, I think I need to go. I feel led to go out to California." And he went out to Los Angeles. And he found a barn, a stable. But he said, "That'll make a good church." It's just, and this is so interesting. And here Jesus came in a stable, and so did the Holy Spirit to America. But Seymour went in there and cleaned it all up and put in wood benches and such. And he began to have church. And the power of God came down and began to minister to people. Let me give you one instance. A man had heard about this phenomena clear over in Israel. He came over, true story, he came over to Los Angeles, California to expose this stuff. He came over into that humble little place, and he seen that they went up into an upper room to pray before service. So he went up there, and he's standing there watching and going on. This guy's a rabbi, by the way. And he's watching. Pretty soon, a little gal, just a little gal, okay? She begins to speak out in pure Hebrew. In the Hebrew language, she names his name, what he's doing, and prophesies to him that he needs to turn things over to Yeshua, the HaMashiach, and he will be blessed. And she stopped. Afterwards, the rabbi, he was waiting for her. He grabbed her when it was going down for service. "How do you know me?" She said, "I don't know you from Adam." "Well, you said my name. You said my father's name. And you said why I'm here and such. You said it all." And the little girl, realizing, took the ball and ran the rest of the way down the court and led that rabbi to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, we have majored in the minors. Now listen to me, what I'm about to tell you. We have so focused on tongues, 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 And we have missed the very essence of baptism. Baptism is to set ablaze in us to proclaim to a lost world that Jesus Christ is Lord, and He will give you everything you need that pertains to life and godliness.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. That's what it's all about. Next week, I think somebody's going to preach upon Acts chapter 2. I don't know. I'm guessing. But in Acts chapter 2, they were gathered together, 120 of them. And the Holy Spirit came in. They had paid the price. They had prayed the price. And they had sought God. And the Holy Spirit came and filled them. They were in one accord, you see. Oh, I wish sunshine be like this, be in one accord. Huh?
Amen.
Because if you would be in one accord, the east side will never be the same.
Amen.
But anyway, they were in one accord. They got filled. When you look in Acts chapter 2, you'll see all the languages. And so many times we as Pentecostals, we stop right there. What were the languages doing? This was not, listen to me, this was not for some little personal blessing for them. They were ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ to people outside who were there attending there in Jerusalem, the Feast of Weeks, which was commanded for all the males to come. Amen. So there was at least, we know, 3,000 people outside listening as they took turns speaking in these different languages. And by the way, as you look in chapter 2, they also spoke in Judean or Hebrew. What was the purpose? Proclaiming Christ. Let me bring this to an end here. The Holy Spirit is ministering upon you because of the time in which we're in. I need a couple of fellows, if you would, move this. I don't want to try and grab a hold of this thing. My goodness. Hallelujah. I'll bring you just in case. God is already ministering to some of you. When God moved upon me, I got saved over there at Highland Park Open Bible Church. I just knew I needed something more, something different. And I began to seek Him. Little did I realize what all God had in store. And then about a month later, by myself, over there would be like over to here, I said, God, I want more of You. I just want more of You. I'm not satisfied. I want more of You. And I was kneeling down, and the Spirit of God came upon me, and I began to speak in another language. I don't know what I was saying. I just knew it was good. Little did I realize, within a short time, God would say, now I want you to go to Bible college. And I said, Lord, I don't want to go to college. I did my best to stay away from all that learning. I mean, I did study halls, gym class, everything. That's fine with me. Amen. Listen to me. I didn't even know what a term paper was. In my first year, when we got to the end, they said, and your term paper would be about, and I had to lean over, what's a term paper? Job I called Job. I really did. Psalms was palms. My first day there, Kelton, he had a preacher's kid sitting next to me. And I'm there just saying, okay, Lord, I'll go. And the preacher kid asked the professor, do you believe that, excuse me, do you believe that, what was that guy's name? What? Say it louder. Yeah, what they're saying. Do you believe he was Jesus Christ? And I'm going, Kelton, I looked at that guy and going, oh, great, what have I gotten into? Which now I believe he is and was. I went through a process my first 3 years. You had to keep in mind, I didn't like to study, didn't like to read. Terrible reader. And I'm in Bible college. But God said, go. Pursue the power, the person, and the promise. My fourth year, I began to realize, man, well, I'm going to get out of here pretty soon. I better be able to know something. Always nice. And so I slapped it in boogie. And I began to learn and I began to realize what all I was missing. I just barely graduated Bible college. You look at me here and I'm standing up here in a suit. When I attended Bible college, it was in jeans and t-shirt. And they had a dress code, and I told them, and not in their face, you know. I had an allergy of body slamming, you know, just. But I said, I ain't going to wear nothing but my jeans and t-shirt. And then look what's happened. And that's why I like to sing that song. Look what the Lord has done. I'll say one more thing and then that's my second closing and that's all I have. That's all the ability I have for anymore. I can't go seven. Somebody will have to explain to you visitors that one. I remember my first pastor, senior pastorate. There's a 5-year-old little girl. I can still remember that as clear as day. The mother brought her to me. She was completely deaf. Her name was Heidi Johnson. She's still alive. And when I pastored down there in the old church, I didn't know. I didn't know what happened. She couldn't tell me. She couldn't say anything. All she made was noises. Oh, like that. They brought her forward, and I anointed my fingers, and I stuck them in her ears. And inside, I was going, God, this is way beyond my ballpark, way beyond it. Lord, I need your help. And he gave me a gift of faith. You'll see it in 1 Corinthians 12. And I looked at her, and I prayed for God, let her hear in the name of Jesus. And I pulled my fingers out, and she took off like she had, you know, fire after her. She ran down the aisle, looking around, going around, and screaming. And of course, we thought, well, that's just Heidi. She does that. When she came up here years ago, she was now a young adult woman, and she walked up to me and she said, "You don't know who I am, do you?" And I go, "No. No, I don't." She said, "I'm Heidi." "Heidi? Heidi Johnson." "Pastor, the first thing I ever heard was your voice." She said that to me and I just wept. "The very first thing I heard was your voice." "Oh, because I chose to follow the promise. I chose to seek the person. And I chose to pursue the power." There have been so many miracles that have taken place since then. And it's been good. You want to hear a funny one? We had service, and I was pastoring a farm church in a farm town, and they needed rain. It had been a drought. Needed rain so bad. And it had a big old farmer. He was loud. He would just, when he talked, you could hear him all over. His name was Merritt. And Merritt said, "Pastor, we need rain." We'd only been in the church about 5 minutes, and when we walked in there, it was a clear day. I mean, it was clear. He said, "We need rain. Let's pray for it. Father," and we just prayed, "give us rain." We went on a little bit more, and pretty soon, I'm going, "Oh, God, that's good." And I looked around, everybody's got their eyes open. Pretty soon, "Keep going, Lord." Pretty soon, the entire church went out. The entire church walked out the church, was out there getting wet. I had dismissed service. God did it all. God is not done.
Come on.
And don't you ever let the enemy tell you any different.
That's right.
Give him your all.
Yes, sir.
Let him purge you, son, because God has got a plan for you that will not equal anybody else. It's just tailor-made for you.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Come on.
Now you'll have to excuse me. I got to get off this chair.
You're good. Come on.
God's got a plan for you, Elijah. I seen you standing up here. Man, you stood like a big old oak tree when you was marrying that young love. And I sat back there. Whoa, I'm proud of him. You stood, hallelujah, like a man. Hallelujah.
Come on.
Glory to God. That's why I like the Holy Spirit. Ladies, let the Holy Spirit fill your man. You want your husband to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because when he gets filled with the Holy Spirit, boy, will he be a good husband. Mm-hmm. Vice versa. Instead of griping about her, guys, let the Holy Spirit fill her. She'll never be the same. And neither will your marriage. I'm about done. If I were younger, I could keep going. Some of these old timers know I could keep going. But I purposely got to stop now because I want to pray for some of you who want and who will say, I will pay the price. I will pursue my Lord. I will pursue His power. I will pursue the promise. If that's you, by coming forward, you'll say, Preacher, I want to pledge this day. I'm ready to pursue. I'm ready to go after. I warn you, it'll come with a price. When I did that when I was a teenager, my buddies pretty much less shunned me. Who wants a fanatical Christian? But you know what happened? One by one, I'd have them guys come say, Gerald, would you pray for me? Yeah. So it'll cost you. I don't want you to come up here looking to speak in another language. No, I don't want that. That's minor stuff. What I want to see you to begin the process of where the Holy, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and with fire. The gifts and they'll come along. That's the fire. The fire. Those of you who say, Pastor, I want to do that. Get up from your seat, and would you come and stand down here, please, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. These that are down here, mighty God, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you would so give them a time of visitation. You would guide their steps in Jesus' name. Mighty God, that you would take them step by step into a plunging into your spirit. Thank you, Father. Mighty God, be with these and guide them. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You that are here, stand up, please. God doesn't care what you've done in the past. All He cares about is your availability, not your ability. Okay? Amen. If you make yourself open to Him, you'll see some tremendous things in your life. Get the experience, and you'll get to sometimes say, wow, God, I didn't realize that, or wow, God, that was cool. How about doing that again? Yeah. having a service once. It was a Sunday night. And I was leading worship. They usually called me Two Chorus Morris. Anyway, the Holy Spirit said to me that night, sing longer. So I sung longer. And clear in the back, pretty soon we heard a, and it was in the second to the last pew. And the one of the elders, his son, his oldest son, was standing there looking like this. And I'm standing there looking back, saying, was that him? Or I didn't know who it was. Pretty soon I seen that one hand come up and another hand come up on the back of the pew. And this young kid, about your age, he picks himself up and he's like this. And I'm standing over about where Cindy is. I said, bring him forward. And the elder went and escorted him down. And he got about as far as from me to you guys. And the young man said, they're gone. And I knew what he was meaning. And I knew we had just entered into the major league ball game. And I said, they're gone, huh? He said, yeah. I said, let's see. You see, because a demon-possessed person will never allow you to lay hands on them because that demon will just go ballistic. So I laid hands on him, and he stood right there. They were gone. And I prayed for him, and later on he said, I'm a Satanist priest. In my bedroom and in my closet, I have the altar to Satan. Really? He said, I'm going home and I'm going to throw it all out because now I have a new God. Things like that. You'll see. Be open. Accept it by faith, and it'll take place, okay? But let the Lord prepare. Let the Lord prepare. Sissy, you can't figure this one out. I guarantee you. I know that analytical mind. But you just receive it by faith. And he'll get in there, and he'll bring up stuff. I thought I had that in the foot locker. Let's get rid of it. And he'll clean you all out. Because when he fills you, oh, look out. Adrian, you think she's wild now. Wait till she gets filled. And he'll take the quiet person. Say, speak this out. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Rest of you stand with us, please. Look at me, please. Don't be content to where you're at in God. Because you haven't learned it all, you haven't got it all, and there's a lot more. I know. I pastored 45 years, then I handed off to this young man, and I never regretted that one bit. Because God had prepared him. He paid the price. Amen. And I handed him the baton. Hallelujah. And he's taken around it. Hallelujah. Amen. So you're not, I've learned. I'm still learning. Still growing. Let God do it. Amen. All right, church, I'm done. How many believe that? Not only one person back there. Okay, sis, you're leaving early. You go ahead and I'll keep the rest of these for another hour. Like it was said earlier, we like to have fun. I've kept you long. Well, it's a surprise. And seek God with all your heart. I'll leave you with this. Hebrews 11:6. Go look it up. Father, be with them now as they go. Lead and guide them in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Help them, O Lord, to receive. And help them, Lord, to grow in you and be prepared. For we know that you're coming. The rapture of the church is just a short time away. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You that come down here, would you move in? I want to talk to you. Just right here. You're right to find right there. Just move in, you guys. Let me shut this off because this is between you and me. Okay?